following original talk show is rated NU. No usury abuse is tolerated. Some content may be offensive to term life insurance plan owners. Chestertonian discretion is advised. If David Simpson had been Jerry Maguire and showed Leon the true money, it would have hit him over the head like the proverbial ton of bricks. Gold bricks, that is. Let David Simpson show you the true money every Wednesday at noon Central, exclusively on the Veritas Radio Network's Crusade.
Huh. Look at them yo-yos, that's the way you do it. You play the guitar on MTV. That ain't working, that's the way you do it. Money for nothing and your chicks for free. Now that ain't working, that's the way you do it. Let me tell you, them guys ain't dumb. Maybe get a blister on your little finger. Maybe get a blister.
Wait a minute. We have a new, brand new news break newscast here. I have the first ever financial question of the day offered by a Free Phone Finance Friday, not caller, but emailer. Like an idiot, I didn't check my email. So Bobby rings in with the first ever listener offered financial question of the day. He actually offered two questions. I'm going to talk about one in a minute. The other one I'll kind of give short shrift to and maybe deal with it on another show, because I think I've actually done shows on this before. It requires more talking. So welcome back to the True Money Show. Wow. Wonderful. Thank you for participating, audience. It is such a nice thing to know that you have a heartbeat out there. You're listening to the True Money Show on the Crusade Channel, King Size Truth and Radio Size Speakers. It is so easy to call in. I'll tell you why Bobby didn't call in a minute. I like his little family motto he's got. Hold on, I'll tell you that in a second. 844-527-8723. If you have our app, and if you don't, shame on you. If you have our app, which you can get in the iPhone store or the Google Play store, all this other stuff. Then inside the app, there's actually Call Crusade Now. We've made calling the network so easy, it's shameful that more people don't take us up on it. 844-527-8723. Or you can do like Bobby and write me, David at tffco.com. So I was going to say your mission, if you choose to accept it, is to give me the financial question of the day. Well, this is what Bobby asked. Bobby says, why does college cost so much? That was question number one. And question number two is, what is a tithe and should I give more or less? Well, I'm not going to answer the tithe question because, well, I'll give you a short answer. It's a tenth. It generally means a tenth of the first fruits, meaning a tenth right off the top of what you earn, right? Given to, I won't say the church per se, it doesn't have to be. It's given to help those in need, given away freely, maybe even best anonymously, and with just a generous and charitable and loving heart. So that's what it is in a nutshell. The question about whether it has to be a tenth or whether you can combine your volunteer service time, that's what I'm not going to get into. I've done a show on that, Bobby, so you could probably go seek that out on our website and download from our podcast where we've recorded all of our shows. But I will also, I'm sure, do more shows on that very topic because it is a very important one, and thanks for asking it. Why does college cost so much is an interesting question. This comes up in so many other areas. Mike and I were just talking about it before the show. There's an old line that I thought everyone knew, but apparently it's a dying and nobody hears this anymore. But Mike knew it. My parents taught it to me. And it's just a piece of wisdom that shouldn't leave your skull. Here it is. What the government subsidizes, you get more of. So what does that have to do with college cost? Well, the GI Bill, if you go back and look at when the GI Bill was instituted, and you flop that chart down on how much money the government's dropped into education, and then you overlay a chart on the cost of education and the magnitude of it, how many more colleges there are, you will find a very eerie correlation. And the correlation is just this, that when the government started throwing money at colleges, we got more colleges that weren't producing any better results, by the way, just more colleges, more money being spent on education, therefore cost rising, and rising at a rate usually about double inflation, normal inflation rate. So that's how tragic the educational cost went up at the behest, unwittingly or not, of government bureaucrats. And so why does college cost so much? And there's one other reason, too, I think, because it's dying. You know, when people go into their death throes, you usually spend a lot of money trying to save their life. Well, the college industry is dying, but you wouldn't know it if you went into one of the campuses. If you went to one of the campuses, you'd see lots of building going on, lots of activity, at least pseudo activity, trying to look like we're here, we're vibrant, we're big, we're awesome. You need to come to us, and they do that because they're trying to attract students to get that government money. And and yet, what they know is that the brick and mortar educational system probably is on its last decades, if not years. Because it's unsustainable. People are not going to continue to pay those prices. The government's going to be out of money. And we're going to see lots of reversals in the education industry. Then they'll be begging you to come there at bargain basement prices. I hope that answers your question. Bobby, thank you. That was a great question. Two questions, financial question of the day. Well, let's say one last thing before I finish with Bobby there. That is this. He says, FFF. I guess he's making a play on my free phone finance Friday. He says FFF and our family stands for forced family fun. So every now and then he says, hey, kids, come here. Honeydew and kids, we're going to have fun whether you like it or not. And I get it because sometimes they're all going different directions. And you just say, I want to spend time with you. So, Bobby, congratulations on your forced family fun. He says he's off to Jazz Fest. So have a great time. Listen to some cool music and call in again when or write in again if you want to participate in Free Phone Finance Friday. Guys, after my show, before I get back to the Menzente story of my Heroes and Zeros segment, I want to say that Suzanne is going to have her new Suzanne Options show. This is our preparedness show, really great show, lots of great information there all the time. Thursdays and Fridays she comes on after my show at 1 o'clock Central. Suzanne has special guest Dr. Kevin Gutzman. I know all you guys love to hear his take on the Constitution, but, you know, he doesn't limit himself. He's a history professor, and he knows lots of stuff. And Suzanne and him are good friends, and they're going to be on the show together. So it'll be a very lively Suzanne option following my show at 1 o'clock. And now Bobby's asked his question. So we have a written-in question, financial question of the day. Let me see if I get my first caller to give me a F-quad financial question of the day. 844-527-8723 is how you do it. Let's get back to the Menzente story. I told you guys I've been doing some hero segments, reading these essays from a book I have, 20th Century Heroes. It's all about faith and courage and character. The story I'm doing today is by John F. McManus. It's called The Cardinal's Cross, a story about Hungary's Cardinal Joseph Menzente and his war against Nazism and communism. Basically, he didn't believe in totalitarianism, and neither do I. Well, Cardinal Menzente was a man of honor, a man of courage, a man of immense fortitude. We just heard about the brutality he was undergoing. So let's continue. Now, remember, he just got beat for 3 days. Listen to what happened next. This treatment continued for 39 days. It included beatings, sleepless nights, drugged food, and various forms of humiliation. His prayer book had been taken from him, and when guards surmised that he was praying, additional punishment was administered. This almost makes me cry. Attempting to maintain his senses, he refused to eat because they were drugging his food to, cloud his mind. He explained in Memoirs, that was his book of 1974, quote, I had no doubt that the food was prepared in Andrassy Street and that stupefying drugs would be mixed with it to numb the will. I had previously heard how strong men were broken in this place. It was public knowledge that two sorts of drugs were employed. One loosened the tongue, and the other made him totally apathetic. Close quote. But hunger eventually forced him to eat something, and the authorities were able to drug the man that their tortures couldn't break. After weeks of beatings, sleeplessness, drugs, and various indescribable deprivations, Menzente recalled, quote, my powers of resistance gradually faded. Apathy and indifference grew. More and more, the boundaries between true and false, reality and unreality, seemed blurred to me. I became insecure in my judgment. Day and night, my alleged sins had been hammered into me. And now I myself began to think that somehow I might very well be guilty. My shaken nervous system weakened the resistance of my mind, clouded my memory, undermined my self-confidence, unhinged my will, in short, undid all the capacities that are most human in man. Close quote. I'll take a short little stop here just to say this. Well, I'm going to stop from the story and tell you a little bit about the crusade that we're in. You may not believe this, but Mike Church and I might very well be, I don't know if we're the man for the job, but we might very well be a Cardinal Menzente in the future. Because as I said earlier, as the further society shifts from truth, drifts from truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. The Crusade Channel's purpose, its very purpose for existence, is to speak the truth. That's why we're under the Veritas radio network. Veritas means truth in Latin. So the purpose of the Crusade is to speak the truth, and we know that that's going to be hated more and more, and we very likely could come under the same gun that Carlo Menzente is under. Neither one of us want this. Neither one of us welcome such an outcome. It kills us to think that might actually happen. But the only way it's not going to happen is for good men and women to do something about it. And the simplest thing we can say right now to do is to join the crusade and begin informing yourself. I always tell people when you start a counter-revolution, when you start anything really, start any business, when you start any group, start any club, the first thing you do is you educate, and then you motivate, you recruit, you educate, and then you activate, right? Recruit, educate, or motivate. So people have to come into the doors, then you have to tell them why they're there and what's the purpose of the organization, and then you got to get them so charged up to go do that purpose that they go fight the fight with you. Well, we have a little of that all going on at the Crusade Channel right now. The broadcast goes out to recruit you. The bookstore and the audio videos and everything else that's on the website is there to educate you. And then we hope that you'll share the passion that we have about doing something about it and become a hero like Cardinal Menzente or Douglas MacArthur or Antonio Salazar, Moise Tshombe, G.K. Chesterton, all the ones I've already profiled, these heroes. They were just names, too. They were just men, too, at a time that society needed them to speak up, and they did. You can do the same thing. You're a crusader. You're part of this listener-owned radio enterprise. Please, please join us. Go to the website, crusadechannel.com, veritasradionetwork.com, and right now, let's just say you're a raw recruit. Okay, you're a raw recruit. Go get some of the books in the bookstore and educate yourself on the various topics that are presented, and then help us by joining the crusade and becoming an active member that promotes our cause, but more than our cause, promotes goodness and truth and beauty in the society around us. That's my little commercial, but you can tell that's not much of a commercial, right? I'm not trying to get you commercially interested in the Crusade Channel. I'm trying to get you really interested in preserving the freedoms and the goodness and that exists, that still exists in America, but it's rapidly vanishing unless we do something about it. So they just about have broken Menzinte in our story, right? And I consider this the greatest tragedy of all. Here on the True Money Show on the Crusade Channel, King Size Truth from Radio Size Speakers, you know that one of the things we emphasize so much is just loving our brothers, loving each other, right? But you can't love someone else unless you love yourself, right? Well, here they have, they've almost taken Menzinte from himself. I think this is the greatest tragedy because we didn't just, if he were to die, okay, he gets the crown of glory, assuming that he's in good state with God, right? But if you have the man alive still, but you've lost his good and holy conscience, what a loss, huh? Now he's just a shadow of himself. Now he's hardly a figure of the strong and virile man that he was before. Well, let's find out what happens to Cardinal Menzinte after all of this. You're listening to David Simpson on the Crusade Channel, of the True Money Show on the Crusade Channel, 844-527-8723. Here's the rest of the story of Cardinal Menzinte. The horror he was subjected to continued to take its toll. After weeks of such constant inhumanities, After weeks of such constant inhumanities, he noted that his memory faded to the point that what happened to him, quote, after the end of the second week of detention, January 10th through 24, 1949, remains in my memory only in fragmentary form. Well, he's just about broken. He described this period as living, quote, in a kind of twilight state, close quote. Finally, the physical abuse lessened, and as the authorities prepared him for his February 3rd trial, no torture was inflicted for 2 days. Oh, thanks a lot. Give me a 2-day break from absolute hell. The cardinal was amazed when he was given a black suit to wear at the trial. Notice, not his clerical garb. Then he was stunned to find that he was one of seven, quote, conspirators, close quote, facing communist-style justice. Ludicrously labeled, quote, the general staff of a worldwide conspiracy, close quote, the seven included his secretary and a monk whose health had obviously been shattered. Menzinte himself was charged with treason, misuse of foreign currency, and conspiracy against the government and the people. A letter he had never written was read into the proceedings. What do you know? Let's create fake evidence. In part, it stated, quote, I voluntarily confess that I did in fact commit the offenses with which I am charged, close quote. Sometimes you wonder why they even go through the trouble of torturing when they're going to make up the evidence anyway. And I guess the answer is they'd much rather have the paper really signed by you so they could show it to people. But here they have to fake it and everyone's going to know it if they do a little bit of analysis. I guess it's a reason. Kalman Kitsko, his government-appointed defense attorney, refused to allow the cardinal to mention any of the tortures he had suffered. Photos taken during the trial show a gaunt figure in a black suit staring blankly, almost hypnotically, from the prisoner's dock. Menzinte's recollection of the event was that, quote, the police, the prosecution, the judge, and the counsel for the defense were collaborating, close quote. The trial lasted for only 3 days, and to the surprise of no one, each of the defendants was found guilty. Menzinte's sentence, the most severe given to any of the conspirators, was life imprisonment. Taken immediately to Cobania prison, he was confined to a filthy hospital room for the next 7 months. While he endured no more beatings, drugs, and sleepless nights, his body was battered and the medical care he needed wasn't forthcoming. Listen to this. His mother was allowed 3 short visits, each accompanied by a police lieutenant who listened to their every word. All I can say there is, oh, the mothers. How much suffering, how much agony did the mother of Carla Manzente go through? And she wasn't being tortured. She just knew her son was. Her son, a Catholic priest, the cardinal primate of Hungary, the second highest political and highest religious figure in the country, subjected to communist thuggery and abuse, and she gets to go there for 3 short visits and have a police lieutenant stand there and listen to their conversation while her heart is being ripped apart. God bless you, mothers. God bless all those women who give the strength to the men like Manzente to stand up to this type of abuse. Listen to what happened next. Manzente but the cardinal at least had the consolation of being able to say Mass each day. He was enabled to do this by several guards who, at great risk to themselves, sneaked small quantities of bread and wine into his room. Oh, look at that! Even in the depths of the hell that was the prison that the communist thugs ran, there are guards who have Christian sympathies, and the counter-revolution, the resistance to evil, is going on right there. Christ is risen. You can't kill goodness. You cannot kill truth. You cannot kill the true faith. You cannot kill beauty. This is what we say on the Crusade Channel. And here's evidence right here in this hellhole of a prison. Some guards are sympathetic and sneak bread in and wine in to the cardinal so he can consecrate his Lord and his Savior and recognize that this world is not what we were made for. We're made for the other world where our Lord will lead us. Now, you see, this is proof positive that no matter how bad it gets, the Crusaders win. In September 1949, the authorities moved the emaciated prelate to a Budapest penitentiary where he languished for the next 5 years. By the way, this is, I think, the 5th time he's been in prison, this freedom fighter. This is the worst one, but this is the 5th time he's been in prison. Wherever they put him, his condition amounted to solitary confinement. Though there were other prisoners, contact was forbidden. He commented, quote, in his book, quote, "The greatest torment in prison is the monotony, which sooner or later shatters the nervous system and wears the soul thin, for it is monotony that seems to have no possible end," close quote. The years passed, but the health he had once enjoyed did not return. By 1954, his pre-prison weight of 170 pounds had fallen to 97 pounds. He's basically half his weight. His eyesight had begun to fail. He suffered dizzy spells, and his condition deteriorated so greatly that he was placed in a prison hospital for an entire year. The authorities didn't want him to die while in prison, so they nursed him back to a semblance of good health. How sweet of them. In July 1955, the authorities moved him to, and this word is impossible to pronounce, Puspak Szent László in southern Hungary. Again, his mother was permitted to visit, a great consolation to both of them. When winter came, he was moved again, this time to Felsőpétány in the far northern part of Hungary. By the way, Hungarians, if I'm mispronouncing all these towns, I'm so sorry. Another true measure of the man emerged when 2 clergymen, Archbishop Gross and Father Toth attempted, listen to this, two traitorous priests, attempted to persuade Benzente to accept a pardon. The cardinal knew that Gross, the archbishop, had sought his own release by negotiating with the communists. As a result, the, quote, peace priest, these are accommodators, in other words, who had collaborated with the regime and formerly slandered Gross, had become Gross's admirers. So now, basically the prelates that didn't want to go to prison or were too scared to stand up for what was true, they became accommodators to the communists, and everyone is jumping on their bandwagon and leaving Menzente to suffer in church, suffer in prison alone. The government then spread the word via its newspapers that Menzente was about to be pardoned and released, quote, at his request, close quote. But the indomitable cardinal told Gross and Toth that he, quote, wanted not mercy but justice, close quote. He recounted in memoirs, again a quote, if I asked for clemency, I thought I would have to be ready to meet my adversary's conditions, which he knew he could not do. Instead, he sent a letter to the Minister of Justice proposing conditions for a general amnesty of himself and others. His letter received no answer. You're listening to The True Money Show on Free Phone Finance Friday on the Crusade Channel, King Size Truth from Radio Size Speakers. I'm David Simpson. I'm reading you a wonderful article about one of my heroes, Cardinal Menzente of Hungary. If you'd like to join in the conversation, it's very simple, 844-527-8723. You can email me, david@tffco.com. I'm looking for someone to call in, by the way, like Bobby did through email, and offer the first ever listener-offered financial question of the day. So if you'd like to offer a financial question today for me to ponder and answer, 844-527-8723. Let's return to the story. On October 23rd, 1956, Hungary erupted in revolution. So now we have the Hungarians about to overthrow the communist thugs that took over their country and were worse than the Gestapo of the Germans before. News almost immediately reached the castle where Menzente was being held. The guards ordered him to prepare to leave for Budapest, claiming that they wanted to, quote, protect him from the joyous throngs who were dancing in the streets of the nearby town and shouting his name. Menzente knew that he needed no such protection. Finally, after 4 days, the people bypassed the guards and freed him. A detachment of uniformed Hungarian patriots arrived and arranged to take him to Budapest. As he prepared to leave, large numbers of ordinary people flocked to the castle to see for themselves that Soviet armored cars had not carried him off to some other prison. He wrote, this is Menzente writing in his memoirs, the Protestants came with sincere joy, led by their pastor. They were followed by the Catholic minorities and the Baptists. Young men, girls, old men, close quote. So after all these years, people are still endearing and endeared to their wonderful cardinal primate of the country. He arrived, as Menzente arrived in Budapest on October 31st, after meeting with several of his bishops. Now remember, some of these priests were traitors. Listen to what he did. He immediately dissolved the peace priest movement that had collaborated with the Red Regime. So basically he said, if you were one of these peace priests who was collaborating with the evil that is communism, you're just no longer an organization. That's over. But in his radio address to the nation on November 3rd, he called for forgiveness and urged no recriminations for those who had carried out the communists' will. You see, he knew that some people are just weak, and they were probably going along to get along. And if we all start killing them because we think they're part of the enemy movement, we're becoming murderers and thugs ourselves. So this unbelievable man said, don't take revenge. Wouldn't you have wanted to? But he was unaware, Menzente was unaware, that a betrayal of the brave freedom fighters was already underway. One of the more dastardly acts of treachery ever performed by the U.S. government was bared by Representative Michael Fagan 4 years later. His report appears in the Congressional Record for August 31st, 1960. Here is Representative Fagan's admission. You will recall the revolution broke out on October 23, 1956. This is from the Congressional Record. And that by October 28th, the Hungarian patriots had rid their country of the Russian oppressors. A revolutionary regime took over and there was a political hiatus for 5 days. Then the State Department, allegedly concerned about the delicate feelings of communist dictator Tito, sent him the following cable: assurances of our national intentions in the late afternoon of November 2nd, 1956. So get the picture here. The communists have been routed by Hungarian patriots. Tito is still there, but will be overrun shortly. And there's no way he can win the day and will have freedom in Hungary. But the United States government sends the following message to Tito. The government, quote, "The government of the United States does not look with favor upon governments unfriendly to the Soviet Union on the borders of the Soviet Union," close quote. So Representative Fagan continues, "It was no accident or misjudgment of consequences which led the Imperial Russian Army to reinvade Hungary at 4 a.m. on the morning of November 4th, 1956, 2 days after that message was sent. The cabled message to Tito was the go-ahead signal to the Russians, because any American schoolboy knows that Tito is Moscow's Trojan horse." So what happened? In a word, the American government betrayed the Hungarian freedom fighters to the Russian army. You've heard me say before in this show that America is the biggest exporter of international socialism in any country in the world. Oh, no, David, we're the capitalists. We're the good guys. Well, then argue against Representative Fagan in the Congressional Record of August 31st, 1960. I'm going to finish a few more paragraphs of this show, then we'll take another break here. The U.S. not only failed to send promised aid to the freedom fighters while assuring the Soviets that our nation would not intervene, our nation's State Department blocked plans of Spain's Francisco Franco and West Germany's Konrad Adenauer to aid the courageous Hungarians. So we blocked two other people from helping the freedom fighters. When the Soviet tanks and troops reappeared in Budapest, Mindszenty rushed by auto to the parliament building and learned that the leaders of the uprising had already been arrested. In addition, Soviet forces had sealed off the city and had even confiscated the automobile that had brought him there only a few hours earlier. The cardinal and his aide sped on foot to the American embassy and were welcomed by the U.S. ambassador, who immediately cabled Washington for permission to grant the two men refuge. Now, here you go. Well, we're schizophrenic. Well, some Americans don't know that there are people in our power positions who are pulling the strings for communism. So there are some good Americans, of course. Within 30 minutes, permission arrived from President Dwight Eisenhower himself. A grateful Joseph Mindszenty, at the time unaware of what else the U.S. government had done, sent a message of gratitude to Eisenhower. All right, I'm going to stop the story there. You're listening to The True Money Show on the Crusade Channel. I've been reading you from 20th Century Heroes. I'm not going to finish the story of Mindszenty today. I'm going to conclude the story next week on my Heroes and Zeros segment. I hope you're enjoying it, but I also hope your eyes are opening up on why you need to join the crusade. So don't touch that dial. We'll be right back and finish up the rest of the True Money Show. King Size Truth from Radio Size Speakers.
Marching in, I win the saints, girl, marching in. party. Yes, I want to be in that number when the saints go marching in. Now when the saints go marching by, yeah, by, I would like to hit the number. You're gonna be gone this clarinet wailing.